Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to your favorite cousins and your new favorite podcast. Join the cousins as we discuss trending topics, current events, dating, relationships, and family. New episodes are recorded and published weekly. You can listen using Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Make sure to rate and subscribe. Welcome to the party. We are back with the hot topics. We got your favorite cousins on the line. We got cousin Nadia on the line.
Hey.
We got cousin Sean on the line.
Hello.
And if you are a avid listener, then I am cousin Lee. So let's get into it and let's talk about this week's topics.
Okay, so we got two topics on the table tonight. This first one, you know we got to talk about this one because, this has some people in their feelings over the past week. So this Aisha Curry on Red Table Talk business. So if you have been living under a rock, story, but everybody, I mean, this was all over social media, Facebook, Instagram. Like, I'm still seeing memes for this and it's still aggravating. So, Golden State Warriors star Steph Curry, his wife Aisha Curry was on Red Table Talk, and she made a comment on there that had everybody kind of in an outrage, so to speak. Either you were clearly on one side of the issue. Either you was for her or you was clowning her. So, Aisha Curry talked about her marriage during a recent episode Facebook's Red Table Talk, which is hosted by Jada Pinkett Smith. It's a great show. Shameless plug. If you haven't watched it, you should do so. Her comments about her marriage sparked backlash. So she opened up about what it was like to be married to an NBA star. And she basically said that she suffers from self-doubt when her husband gets attention from other women. And that just started the windfall of all the drama. So I'll read a little bit of what she said. So she said on Red Table Talk that something that really bothers me and, like, honestly has given me a little bit of insecurity is the fact that, yeah, there are all these women, like, throwing themselves. But me, like, the past 10 years, I don't have any of that. I have zero. This sounds weird, but I like male attention. And so then I begin to internalize it, and I'm like, is something wrong with me because I don't want it? But it would be nice to know that, like, someone's looking. What did she say that for? Because when she said that, all that translated to, especially men, is that you have a married woman who's with a rich basketball player who wants male attention, who's so insecure that she just wants all this male attention, and how disrespectful it was to her marriage and to her family. And that was pretty much it just started from there. I know we've had some extensive talk about this in our cousin's chat, but what were your thoughts about this whole situation?
I didn't think there was anything wrong with what she said in the context of the full conversation. So all of them were talking about making sure they find themselves in the shadow of these superstar spouses. Her sister-in-law were on there, and they are both also married to basketball players. And her sister, Sid, is also a child of a basketball player. She's Doc Rivers' daughter. So they were all talking about finding yourself and having something for yourself. So I didn't see anything wrong with it because she was trying to discover who she is. She's 30 years old. She has been with Steph since she was 15 years old, and they have 3 kids. And for women, your weight goes up and down. You don't know always if you're desirable to your husband and things like that. And sometimes it helps to have some man whistle at you or be like, hey, ma, how you doing? You look good. You know, you look good in your yoga pants. So there's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't mean that she's insecure or she wants something. Sometimes it's fun. And I saw a lot of women commenting that, you know, oh, I went home and I told my husband that the man at the gas station tried to holler. And he was like, oh, for real? I'm going to have to go beat him up. And people like that kind of stuff. They think that that's fun, to know that somebody else is looking at your significant other. I didn't think anything wrong with it, but my thing was that people didn't watch it in its entirety. They took that one little thing and ran with it. Like, you didn't see the full conversation of what she said as a whole. That one little piece wasn't it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think her stance was she basically, in a nutshell, just wants to feel wanted. Mm-hmm. Whether it's from her husband or whether it's from a stranger or whether it's from a neighbor down a block, she just wants to feel wanted as a woman. And I think that's what all women want. We want to feel wanted, whether we're, you know, plus size, skinny, whether we're tall, short, we want to feel wanted by somebody.
Right. And see, so it's interesting to me because sometimes a man who cheats will tell you that he wanted to be wanted by someone else. And that's why he strays. So she's not saying that she's going to cheat, but she's saying that sometimes she wants attention and she doesn't get it. But if somebody cheats and they say, oh, I wanted attention and I went out and got it, people be like, oh, okay, I get it. No, that don't, you know, like, you know, that you can say it in that sense and go out and get that attention. And she's saying she's not sure if she gets enough attention. And Steph is on the road. They play 80 games or something like that. Like, he's on the road for weeks at a time. So, you know, they see each other. Her sister-in-law says that she saw her husband 2 days in a week, and then he was gone for 2 weeks, and they have a newborn. Mm-hmm. So how do you think that that's enough for somebody?
Right.
Not saying that she's not in love, but that may not be enough for somebody.
Yeah. And this is not... This is not a judgment on
right.
Steph as a husband, as a father, as a man. But this is just maybe like saying how she feels as a woman,
right?
Like this, like, because we cannot judge their relationship. We don't know what goes on in their household. You know, he could be telling her she's the most beautiful woman in the world every single day. He could send her right. roses every single week. He could be doing everything that he can as a husband, as a father, as a man to make her show that he appreciates her and everything that he does for her. But at the end of the day, you know, like Lee said, they've been together for 15 years. He's probably the only man that she's known mentally, physically, you know, he's probably the only man that she's ever even been with. So, you know, she probably just wants, like I said, to feel wanted. She probably just wants to know, hey, you know, there are other men out there that think I'm beautiful, that think, you know, I'm pretty, that you know, think that like my curves, that like the color of my skin, that think my eyes are pretty.
I think that the thing that, like you both are saying, as a woman, you want to feel desired. And she proved the point that women are everything to everybody, especially when you're a wife and you're a mother. So you're a daughter, you're a sister, you're a wife, you're a mother, you're all these things to everybody, but you're still a woman first. And
right.
people don't see past that because of your position. People don't see that because she's Steph Curry's wife, you know. And I think that a lot of what she was saying, like you guys were saying, I think most people that had the backlash or the negative things to say, they didn't watch the interview in the entirety. And a large part of that conversation was about this is the way I interpret it, how do you live in the shadow of someone that's so big, someone that gets that much attention? And No one wants to be looked at as just someone's wife when you have a whole name yourself, when you have
right.
own personality, when you have your own interests, when you have your own look. You know, it's I felt like on that show she spoke her truth, period. And that has nothing to do with her husband. It has nothing to do with her kids. It has nothing to do with anybody but her as a woman. I don't think it's attention seeking because she's speaking her truth. And it's easy to be, I felt like she's basically saying, look, it's easy to be overshadowed. And like, we are all like that sometimes. Like, you want attention from the person that you love. And going through that range of emotions of insecurity doesn't mean that her husband isn't doing something. It just simply means that, hey, I'm a woman and I'm at home and my husband's famous and I'm his wife.
Right.
That's all people see. They don't see Aisha. They see Steph Curry's wife.
And she gave tons of examples of how people openly flirt with her husband even while she's there. So she says women just kind of wait for their chance to come in and do whatever, and they'll come up to her and she'll have to be like, hey, how you doing? I'm Aisha. And she doesn't get that. There's no man waiting in the wings. And, you know, and maybe, unfortunately, maybe these women are more disrespectful than men out there, but I don't think that's true. That's a whole nother conversation.
No,
but
that's true. That's true.
I mean, groupies might really be like whatever, you know? So, you know, there's no one waiting in the wings to be like, oh, hey, Aisha, how you doing? My name is Bob, you know, whatever, whatever, you know, but you know, Sally, Shaniqua, whoever is waiting in the wings to holler at Steph at the bar or holler at Steph after the game, you know, so.
Even think about, even to that point, Lee, think about how many women now labeled her as someone who didn't appreciate her husband, didn't appreciate her family.
And she never said that, right. But, mm-hmm. You know.
They looked at her like, you have a whole husband. He's, you know, you're famous, you got money, and you don't appreciate it. That's how some women were looking at this. So think about the number of women that looked at her like that, and that probably double-timed the flirting and the disrespect.
Right. Towards her. Right.
Because these women were right. Like, you got your husband, y'all know what to do with him. Let me show him that I...
Let me show you, yeah, let me show you what I could do with him. Right.
Well, the problem is they think she should appreciate the materialistic things.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's not all of what it's not always about the material.
Right. And it just really annoyed me. I think what annoyed me the most, of course, on social media always gets you riled up. I saw so many men talking about this thing like it was just like she had a moment where she was just totally disrespectful to her husband. And I heard a lot of men say this is something that should have been discussed between her and her husband.
Yeah.
Full talk. And I'm like, listen, who's to say that she didn't have these conversations with him? Who's to say that he didn't know already that she was going to have this conversation? And he hated it because people be so quick to, this is what really burned me up. People be so quick to jump on that bandwagon of what marital principles are that they forget that you're human. They forget that you're a woman. And they forget that you are your own person. And just because you're married to someone, that does not preclude you from being an individual. And that doesn't preclude you from having feelings and having experiences that make you feel human. And she was on this show speaking her truth in comparison to other women who experienced the same thing that she has. And to me, that's just what it was. It wasn't to go in there and say, hey, I need all this attention from men, or I'm out here trying to embarrass my husband. But it really annoyed me the amount of men who took it as like a personal slap in the face. Like their own.
Yes.
And it's like, come on, man. You telling me that your wife, the whole time you've been married to her, ain't never looked at you and been like, you're doing something that I don't like. You're human. If you point me out to a female that ain't never had an insecurity, I'm going to tell you you're blind. I'm going to tell you you're a liar. Every female has had some level of insecurity. But when you're in the public eye and you're dating or married to someone who is also in the public eye, and you're overshadowed by that. From the outside looking in, people feel like you don't have anything to worry about. Your insecurities don't show. the way that it will show on somebody like me that don't have no money and don't have no famous boyfriend. Okay? So it just annoyed me the amount of people that really dragged her because she had
and a lot of the men talking about, I know he grinded her up or he, you know, put her in her place when he got home or whatever, whatever. None of that is even necessary.
It's not necessary and it's not true. I'm telling you, I really seen some asinine statements this week.
I did too.
I think the most asinine I saw, and we talked about this in the chat, the most asinine statement that I saw was a black female who made a statement. You know, somebody posted a story on social media, and I saw a black female comment. They was like, you know, what are your thoughts on this? A black woman commented saying, this is a prime example of why black men marrying white women, black women can be so ungrateful. When I tell you that to my soul, because really, like, you, there is a plethora of reasons that we could do a whole show on why quote unquote black men don't date other black women and why black men prefer white women. But you're using this as a reason or some kind of logic or an example of why black men don't date black women. Like, come on, Mom. You serious?
Yeah, that ain't it. That ain't it.
Like, of all the things that you could have said, that's what you could
have said? That ain't it. That ain't it.
Maybe her saying that is the reason why I'm black men.
Okay, can we talk about stupid for a minute? How about black men don't like stupid ladies? Okay.
Right. Like, what does that have to do with anything?
It ain't got nothing to do with nothing. And I'm like, there's so many different opinions on this interview, and you use this as the example of why black men marry white women. And I was just blown away by that. I'm like, even as a black woman, do you believe that, seriously? Like, come on, Mom. Which leads to my next point, and I like your thoughts on this. This is a prime example of how, as a woman, being everything to everybody and losing ourselves and speaking our truth and having these transparent moments, and sometimes when you have these conversations, you need to know that someone hears you. You need your feelings validated. And situation is a prime example of how, as a we don't provide safe spaces for women.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think when I had responded to that young lady that made that comment, I told her that I had read an article earlier that said that black women are the biggest misogynists of other black women.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. You are an example of that. If this is what you came up with out of this story, you are the prime example of what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on how we in our culture don't
provide? Well, I think in addition to not having a safe space for women, we don't have a safe space for men either.
Right.
And I think that we just don't have safe spaces. And some people think the church is a safe space, but I think we just, the way we handle mental illness and like things like that, black people as a group, as a culture, we don't handle it properly. We internalize it. We don't get therapy. Like, you know, we just end up broken and we just pass it on. I mean, like, we've had this conversation in its different facets about broken people. But I think this is an example of how, you know, people try to continue to break her in this and saying she was ungrateful, she was this, she was that, where the Red Table Talk should have been a safe space for her to speak her truth. And it should be a safe space for anybody that of any gender, race, whatever, to speak their truth without judgment. And I think that's what the purpose is. But we as a black people, we clown people or we make fun of people for speaking their truth, and we don't have a safe space. So your safe space is your maybe a couple of friends, but we should be able to go to therapy. We should be able to do whatever. But Black people, there's a stigma behind all of that. And I think this is just an example of that, you know, that we don't have safe spaces at all. Where's our safe space? Is our safe space always church? Because church doesn't handle mental illness correctly. So where is our safe space? We don't have one. We just don't. We don't have it for anything. We don't have it for Black gays. We don't have it for, you know, like, we don't have it. We're not our safe space for ourselves.
And, you know, I think the problem, too, is as kids, we're always taught that we're in competition with one another. Like,
right.
Especially young females. Like, we're always taught, okay, or especially when we go to school, okay, somebody's hair is longer, somebody's hair is straighter, somebody's hair is kinkier, somebody has better shoes, somebody has better clothes. Like, we're always competing with each other, and, you know, if somebody is better than us, we don't give each other compliments and say, oh my gosh, you have such pretty hair, you know, your shoes are nice, your clothes are nice. We look at that as, oh well, you know, I don't like this person, or we find a flaw in that person and say, oh well, you know, they might have nice shoes, but they still ugly. Right.
And that was something that came up a lot of time when women were like, well, I don't like Aisha Curry anyway. So, bam. But what reason do you not have, you have not to like her? Like, okay, she tweeted some things when she was younger about the way, she's 30 years old. Like, so if she tweeted something 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that makes her 20. That makes her barely out of her teenage years. She didn't know anything. So, like, you don't like her because of something she said, and clearly you can see now at 30 she had growth and she's learned. So I didn't see any reason for anybody to really be hating on her. But, you know, that's what we do. You know, mm-hmm. They're hating on her because she's got this, what they think is a perfect life, but clearly she's saying it's not perfect because something is missing. But they gonna still use this as hate and be like, well, you know, maybe he should have married a white girl. What? Like, you know, like, it's all that same thing. Like, you know.
I think that, though, a large part what people fail to see is the number of women that that kind of confession speaks to, because
right,
you're looking at a woman. I mean, Aisha is gorgeous. She's gorgeous.
She
to see somebody that pretty be a wife, be a mother, and still have that kind of insecurity. And she's telling you, listen, you're not alone in this, you know? And I'm sure that some regular old housewife or mother, wife, working mother, wife, whatever, looked at that and said, you know what? Yes, I felt that way. I understand what she's saying. You know, I get overshadowed because all people look at me, you know, my kids look at me as mother, look at me as mom, or you know, what am I doing for them? My husband's looking at me like, wife, what are you doing for our home? What are you doing for me? What are you doing for our kids? No one looks at you and say, Dad, you fine today. Dad, you know, I'm feeling some kind of way towards you because you look in a certain way. Everybody, mm-hmm. You got to be a groupie for your woman. You know what I'm saying? And that's not saying it's nothing, is it? But I think people ultimately miss the point of the whole interview. So I encourage anybody that didn't watch it in its entirety, that has such a strong opinion against Aisha Curry, maybe you should go back and look and take another look, take another listen.
Watch the whole thing from beginning to end.
I was about to say the same thing.
Because that's all I kept typing all week long. Did you watch the whole thing? Did you watch the whole thing?
They
watch the whole thing and get back to me.
Guys, most guys especially, said that they did not watch the whole thing. Their statement was, no, I didn't watch the whole thing. I saw enough. You didn't see nothing. Okay? The only men that agreed with what or did not see anything wrong with the interview are the guys that watched it in its entirety. So again, everyone's entitled to their opinion, but if you're listening and you did not see the Red Table Talk episode, please go back and watch it. Not saying that you should change your attitude about it, but it might give you a little bit of a different perspective. It wasn't anything negative that she was saying. She's not
at all. And I don't think that right.
Her seeking attention from other men. She was just speaking on an experience she had and how that had played a role in her marriage and her relationship. And how she got to a point where she spoke her truth and she was being transparent. And that's all it was. It was no disrespect, no dig, nothing towards her husband. And I think so the next thing and last thing we're going to talk about tonight is we had a Facebook poll a couple weeks ago about should level of education of two people matter in a relationship. People that voted on the poll, 67% of our followers voted yes, education does matter in a relationship, it levels the playing field. And then 33% voted no, it doesn't matter. Education shouldn't matter in a relationship. Which way did you vote?
My vote is no.
I voted no. No is not an answer. I don't know what.
No, it does, to me it doesn't matter.
Got it.
because you can be dating Bill Gates, but then it's like if y'all don't connect, then what is it? Why does it matter? Why does it matter? You could be Bill Gates and you know the smartest female in the world, but then it's like if y'all don't connect, then y'all don't connect.
I think my answer PhDs. Was probably yes. But book smarts does not equate to like street smarts or common sense. So my answer is probably yes, but there still has to be like something behind it. Because I know a lot of smart people that are not bright.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because to me, y'all can both have PhDs.
Even if you don't have a college degree, and I have a college degree, or you know, you still got to pick up a book. You know, like even if you only have your high school diploma and you have an associate's, or you only have your GED, you got to read. You got to know what's up, news and current events and things like that. You can't be a dummy. So. In a sense, yes, it does matter. Like, you want to be on the same level. You want to have some of those same experiences, too, because you want to be able to talk about, like, the college experience, if you had a traditional college experience and things like that. But you have to also want to continue to better yourself. So if you don't have a college degree and I have a college degree, that's fine. But can you read this book and not use your finger to read the pages? Like, it's a whole bunch of... It's a whole bunch. It's I think it's bigger than that yes or no, that it matters. Like, you know, you just, I think I have to be with somebody that wants to do more. It may not be school. It may not be you got to go get your JD or anything like that. But are you always learning? Are you always bettering yourselves?
It's just my thing is somebody with a PhD could love me just as hard, if not harder, as somebody without a PhD.
That is true.
That is true. How about when you don't have a degree, you got time. You got time to love.
Right.
Hold on. But I tell you, I'm over here like, I'm trying not to cackle.
I'm just saying. Go ahead, cackle, baby. Go ahead, cackle. It's all right.
I was holding it, like, not read with your finger, because it just instantly in my mind, like, I could see some dude with his face real close to a book.
Mm-hmm. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, cackle. Go ahead, read your Dr. Seuss Cat in the Hat. I ain't mad at you. Yes, go ahead pull out your alphabet cards. I ain't mad at you, baby. Your oodles and noodles be ready in a minute with the hot dogs. We have it all ready.
No.
We have it ready for you in a second.
I voted that it doesn't matter. And I kind of agree with Nadia. Like, I don't think that... Because I've dated the guy that has all the degrees, graduate degrees, and I've guy who's a blue collar brother, GED. I've dated a guy that I didn't have either. But I will say, maybe I kind of ride the fence a little bit, I guess. I did vote no, ultimately, but because I think in the end, it kind of doesn't matter if you can find some common ground with someone.
But, right.
But it does matter when, because I've even noticed as a person that has gone to college, has a graduate degree, and work in a professional job, my level of conversation is different.
Yes, yes.
It doesn't. Or that doesn't have any wherewithal or awareness to anything around them. I have talked to guys who have gone to school, but they don't have any other interests. And I've talked to guys that didn't go to school that had a wide range of interests and could talk to me about anything. And
right.
I think ultimately it just depends on where you find that connection. But I'm not so sure I'm convinced that education is necessarily the reason.
Yeah. I agree with you because I had a roommate. She was super duper smart. She is a doctor, but she ain't have no common sense, and she couldn't have a conversation about anything unless it had to do with school and science and all that other stuff. So she ended up with a man that didn't have the same level of education that she did, but they were able to have the same level of conversation because she couldn't talk about much. Like, you know, like, I mean, they were ended up being on the same page, I felt like, because they were both kind of dodo heads. Like, you know, even though she was smart, she could relate to him on a basic level because she didn't have those other conversation skills, like you said. Like, she didn't have anything else to talk about. And he didn't have anything else to talk about because of some things that happened to him, and he was in jail and all this other stuff. So, you know, like, you know, I mean, it really just depends. Like, maybe education doesn't play a part in it, but unfortunately we're intelligent women that want to have intelligent conversation. Right. And sometimes that comes from life experiences, and it comes from a level of education, maybe sometimes beyond high school.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't know either. I know one time I was talking to this guy. He went to school. I know he went to high school. I know he graduated high school. He may have had a little bit of college, but I think maybe he went to community college or something. He ended up dropping community college, and he you know, went on to pick up a trade and was working. So he was working, good solid guy, you know, real good dude. I found a challenge with him because, again, I guess because of my experiences, not just with education and professional experience, but just life experience in general, you know, it just in traveling or being exposed to different things, you know, moving around, being in a place where, you know, there's a diverse culture. I found it very hard to communicate with him. And largely because he hadn't been exposed to different things, and not because he wasn't, I found him not to be educated, but we just did not have any common interests. I found myself, when talking to him, having to explain things to him. And it used to annoy me. Now, it got to be annoying. In the beginning, I kind of thought it was cute. Like, I might be talking about, let's say I went to a museum and I saw an exhibition. And so I'm talking to him about the exhibition. Oh, well, who's that?
Right.
Where's this at again? And so, you know, it's just a series of questioning that came along with certain things that I would talk to him about because he just didn't have the knowledge. And I even wondered, did he even have any interest in being interested in anything that I was interested in? You get what I'm saying? So I don't know. It's things like that that I more so look at in terms of compatibility and being able to say, does it really matter? Does level of education matter? It may or may not. But us having the same interest definitely matters. But I guess education could come back into play because it's like, are you capable of having these, are you capable of getting to that point of having these interests? because you don't have the education? Like, what's your capacity for knowledge, I guess? That's the best way.
Right, right. That's what I was saying. You know, like, you got to be able to pick up a book or something and, yeah. and better yourself, or pick up the newspaper and know what's happening in the world and Google it. Like, can we go to an art museum if that's what I'm interested in?
Right.
Can we go to, you know, the national museums in D.C.? And are you going to know what some of these things is? Or if I teach you what those things is, are you going to retain that knowledge and want to grow? Or are you just going to look at, you know, the artwork and be like, oh, okay, that's Picasso, and like leave it at that? You know? Right.
Or if I tell you I'm going somewhere, I'm traveling somewhere, and you're like, oh, where is that at? It's in Europe, or oh, it's in
right, Europe, right,
South America.
Right.
Oh,
like, where is that? What continent?
My dad's right. You ain't never looked at a map before. Like, you know, exactly. Like, just things like that, that I found myself in that situation. Like, oh boy, I felt like, what, like, we don't have anything in common. Like, we don't share the same interests. I'm having to constantly explain myself to you, like, what is going on here? And I just found it to be aggravating after a while. So I guess in a sense, I kind of ride the fence a little bit, but that
yeah,
was
I kind of do too. But I mean, like, I'm not going to discriminate against somebody that is a blue collar worker that went to trade school, because we need those people. But I need somebody that still has some sort of intelligence. And I mean, and life experience plays a big part in it, you know, like
it does.
You know, where have you been? What did you do? You know, how many jobs have you had in your lifetime? You know, like, have you had to struggle? Like, all of these things, you've had to have something to learn from. So, I mean, I'm sure, I don't know. I don't even know if I answered it, my bad, but I think I'm kind of in the middle, you know?
Yeah, but on the poll, like I said, 67% voted yes. Education does matter. It levels the playing field. And then there was a low 33% that voted nope, it doesn't matter. Education between two people shouldn't matter in a relationship. It depends on, you know, what matters is how two people feel about each other. So I guess we can find some reasons to be for or against it. Ultimately, though, I will say that I think in my dating experiences, I've probably dated more guys who did not have the level of education that I have than have. I think I've probably in my lifetime maybe dated two or three guys that, or had interactions with two or three guys that may have been on the same level of education as me. But I don't expect that, because I feel like to an extent I'm a serial schooler. Like, I'm back
right.
to school. You know, that's just been my direction. But I've met some very smart, very intelligent guys that have not even finished school. Whether they went to school for a little while in secondary education, in higher ed, or they didn't finish high school. So, I mean, I've met all types of guys. So, I don't know. We'll see. But if you're listening and you participated in the poll, thank you. But if not, make sure that you are following us on Facebook and participating in our polls, because we will talk about it on our show. So that's it for tonight, ladies. As always, it's a pleasure to talk to you guys. And for everybody out there listening, make sure that you're following us on Facebook, your favorite cousins. And like I said, participate in our polls, because we do talk about it on the show. If you have anything that you want to write to us about, you want to ask us a question, you need advice, you can email us at yourfavecousins@gmail.com.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you soon.
All right, good night.
Bye. Good night.